If I'm making my pick, it's all weather, but if it stays at 40, I'm going Denver. When the defensive team stays defensive and when the offensive team stays offensive, it's almost always the offense winning at
I
the end of the
disagree
day.
with that. I don't think that's
Really?
true. Yeah, I think the defense tends to overwhelm.
I am a master of analysis. Called that one dead on.
Oh, yeah. Nah, I think you forgot the old cliche of defense always wins championships.
I had to hear that multiple times last night, and every time I did, I wanted to baby seal club that person in the dick.
Yeah, it isn't a moron. It's a completely moronic statement.
Yeah.
Because which asshole who watched that game said that this was going to be a blowout? Like, oh, yeah, of course.
That's what makes me livid. That is what really everyone. Guess what, assholes? You had a coin flip. In theory, it's pretty much picking a coin flip to pick this game.
Well, I mean, I'll say this. Being the person who picks Seattle on this show.
Absolutely.
I will say, like, in my mind, I'm trying to be honest here. If they had gotten around, like, 29, I think one of the things I said was neither team will score over 30. Well, I was wrong about that. So I did pick Seattle, but I was like, there's no way they're going to score 30 on this defense.
Oh, I can't tell you how many people act like they're fucking Nostradamus right now.
Right.
Because they picked Seattle. And then you look at it, it's like, I'm picking them 30-23. Oh, bully for you. It was that. You were so close.
Because here's the like crazy statement you would have had made before the game. I think that
fucking
future Hall
bloodbath.
Of Famer Peyton Manning will just, he won't even lead the offense to more than a single touchdown.
Two words, fucking bloodbath. If you said that, if you said this is a joke and it won't even be close, and no, you're thinking two touchdowns, it's going to be more than that, I got respect for you. Otherwise, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I don't hear a lot of people saying Peyton Manning is so overrated after the season he had, saying that, oh, he's going to get blown out because there's no way he's as good as his numbers showed this season. No, get out of here. He was pretty damn good in the regular season. He just ran up against the best defense in the league.
Yeah, just so disruptive. Let's do our intros, by the way. Papa's Football Podcast. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined by Howard Flood. Show's website, pfpod.com. Go there for our writing, every episode we've ever done. Also, find Papa's Football Podcast on iTunes. Literally just type in that word. Funny like that. You type in the name of some shit, and iTunes finds it for you. You type in Cat Snowball, you might not find our show, but give it the name, and presto, there we are. And last but not least, Papa Football Pod on Twitter. I guess we'll, I don't know, tweet NFL news or little bits here and there for the rest of the off season.
I might even throw in some college news now that we're
that's
desperate
fine.
For football content. So
technically, it's called Papa's Football Podcast. So we can start snaking in some college shit. And be
well,
like, we intended this since day one.
I'll be snaking in the college shit.
Yeah, I won't know much.
The only thing you care about college is who's going into the NFL. That's the only time you ever pay attention.
And I can report on Frank Beamer's neck pouch.
Yeah.
That's it. I find that endlessly fascinating and always will. But for the time being, we have one last show summarizing some regular season action. Well, I guess postseason action.
Yeah, thank you.
But it's the season. Seasonal action.
All right. Seasonal action I will accept.
Thank you.
Did you enjoy the Super Bowl this season?
This Super Bowl, the worst I think I have watched since, I'm going to go with what? That Tampa Bay Raiders debacle, which was more recent than I thought it was.
See,
it was 2003.
That was uneven in a way where you felt that there was not even a competition. This was definitely a matchup of two game plans that were solid and just one was way better than the other. The problem I had with that Raiders Super Bowl was just very obvious that John Gruden knew the whole playbook.
Gave the signals, yeah.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing for the Raiders that year. Whereas this year, I do feel like,
I mean, how fucking lazy do you have to be where your former, what was he, an offensive? No, he was the coach, right?
He was the head coach.
Yeah,
they promoted
the
offensive coordinator.
That's right. And the OC was just like, ah, fuck it. We'll leave it in place.
Yeah, they didn't change a lot of the calls, so he was able to tell the defense, all right, this means that, this signal means that.
It was being called out at the line of scrimmage.
It's embarrassing. Embarrassing what happened in that Super Bowl. That Super Bowl is probably the last one I walked out on. This one I enjoyed. I really did. I do like a blowout in the Super Bowl. I really do. If it's two teams that are good, and it's simply that one is playing much better than the other, I enjoy that kind of game. I don't think Denver was horrendous, other than, like, they really got the dropsies. There was really a problem. Not with catching the ball, but holding on to it.
Shit knocked out of him.
Yeah, I mean, the turnovers were an embarrassment. Like, they really...
Not even the turnovers. It's just like, if you caught the ball, they were very big on these little screens and little dink and dunk shit, and then you'd get yards after the pass.
Yeah.
And it was like, instead of getting yards after the pass, I'm going to get this 3-yard pass, and then get my fucking balls knocked into next Tuesday.
That was pretty amazing. I enjoyed the pass rush. I mean, to me, that was one of the keys going into the game. I just felt like Peyton Manning is going to have trouble against this front four. And he did. That's pretty much what sucks about having an immobile quarterback like him and Tom Brady. It's what happened to Brady the first time that they went up against the Giants in the Super Bowl and lost. Nobody expected.
Yeah, he was harassed the whole game.
Yeah, the front four can get after an immobile quarterback, and if they can't adjust and move out of the pocket, maybe get a couple yards here and there, hopefully get a couple first downs the way that, you know, Russell Wilson looked pretty good running the ball last night when he was flushed out of the pocket. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the guy was he was amazing yesterday on the other side of the ball with Russell Wilson. So.
Yeah, I normally like to call him a somewhat mobile game manager.
Like, yeah,
the
you
kid
are.
Can run.
Yeah.
And he gets a couple throws here and there. He looked good. What can I say? He looked fucking good.
No, he is an excellent passer. I mean, he is a bit more selective than a lot of the quarterbacks who are considered elite in the league.
Is he like a better
are.
Alex Smith?
That's still insulting, man, because here's where he's basically
a hotter mama cass.
The better way to look at him, he's a notch below Drew Brees right now. He's going to be as good as Drew Brees.
Isn't that like his football idol?
Yeah.
Okay.
And looking at the stats, I've been doing some number crunching. He really is getting closer to where he wants to be as far as Drew Brees' stats are. Because he does get sacked a little bit too often. It's surprising because Russell Wilson is great in the pocket and knowing situations when to take a 3-yard gain and just give up on a broken passing play. That to me is like one of his greatest skills. I've never seen a quarterback as good at him as him at that. I mean, the problem is on the flip side, yeah, you have a guy like Michael Vick who is able to break into the open field when a passing play breaks down, but he never really threw the ball well. Whereas like Russell Wilson is excellent at picking those moments to go down the field. And he has these receivers that everybody underrated, but they can win one-on-one matchups. Like, that first big catch that they had was on Champ Bailey, your boy. He was just blown open.
He's sluggish as shit. He's old. I mean, Champ Bailey was a contemporary of Clinton Portis, and admittedly, Portis was a running back, but how fucking long has Portis been out of the league at this point? Champ is still there, acting like he's something elite.
Russell Wilson is very judicious when he does go downfield. And so I think that he really showed people yesterday that he is going to probably be the next Tom Brady. Like, that's kind of the way that you have to look at him right now. Is he going to be the next Tom Brady? Because he just won a Super Bowl in his second year. And he's a guy that came in low in the draft. He's probably going to end up having a couple more years on this lower pay scale before they have to figure out a way to...
I would assume one more.
Yeah, there's one more at this low level. However, his first contract after that, he probably isn't going to be able to demand the kind of money that, you know, the Peyton Mannings or Joe Flaccos of the world get.
If he gets the second ring, the sky's the limit.
The problem is everybody knows that this team is built on its defensive strength.
Absolutely. Sounds a bit like the Ravens.
Well, even with the Ravens, that defense essentially disintegrated. Like, their two more expensive players are gone. Going into the season, so that really
did
free up the money.
They
for
won
Flacco.
That year when Flacco signed up. Everyone thought of the Ravens primarily still as an defensive squad. They're like, the offense is good, but these are the Ravens. They're like the goddamn Steelers. It's built on running and it's built on the goddamn defense.
The Ravens are a young franchise. This was the first season without Ray Lewis, so they really did transfer their identity away from that side of the ball. I feel. The better comparison point, though, I think, for Russell Wilson is Ben Roethlisberger. He's not the highest paid quarterback.
But what does he make? I always forget this. It's like, it's at least 10, 12, something like that.
It's more like 14, I think.
Yeah, I thought he wasn't cheap because he has two fucking rings, so you got to pay the guy. This kid's got one already.
Yeah, 14 is reasonable. Like, basically, I'd say the top limit you want to pay these types of guys is what Cutler's making. What Cutler just signed for about 17, I believe. So that's real. Like, once you start paying a guy more than that, he really does have to have Peyton-esque Manning numbers. But now you got guys like Flacco making that. You got guys like Eli making that kind of garbage money. It's ridiculous. Like, you got to be Aaron Rodgers. You got to be Peyton Manning. Even Drew Brees, maybe. But even then, like, I question giving Drew Brees that much money. Because you're not going to win a Super Bowl if he's getting paid that much.
Yeah. I want to get right back to something you had said earlier, briefly touch on it. You said, I love a blowout if it's, you know, not something weird afoot, like almost where it fixes in with the Raiders and the Bucks.
Right.
Where you're just like, this is never going to occur again, and this is goddamn awful.
Right, yeah.
It's almost like when Costanza got the cotton uniforms for everyone, and then they shrank, and the Yankees were tripping on the field. It's that kind of calamity. I'm not like you. I need the game to be close. This was the Super Bowl. You know how football obsessed I am. And I swear to God, at halftime, I was at my friend Rich's house. We've been in the throes of Diablo 3 addiction on the Xbox. We look at each other. I want to say when the Seahawks got the ball back one last time with about 90 minutes left in the first half, we're like, Diablo? And we played that maybe through halfway through the third quarter.
That was about the time the game ended, when Denver decided on 4th-and-2 to go for it instead of kick a field goal.
I'm going to go with what I missed, a Percy Harvin return for a touchdown.
That wasn't Percy Harvin.
It wasn't? Okay.
No.
I didn't even see it. We flipped back 2 minutes late and...
Opening kickoff the second half. Yeah.
And Rich was like, Denver already has it back. And then I look at the score. I'm like, yes, that's because they allowed a touchdown, Rich. Those are the rules of football. And we went right back to Diablo.
Yeah. I mean, it was an ominous start to a game when there was the safety.
But I have never seen shit like that in my life. 2 seconds in.
My immediate response when I saw the safety was, all right, so instead of having the ball to start the game, they've basically given Seattle 2 points. They're giving them the ball to start the first half, and they scored a field goal, so they spotted them 5 points on the first drive. And on top of that, you knew Seattle was going to get the ball to start the second half. And so it's just like, this is a gross. Yeah.
Yeah, the instant... I saw that their offense was not fucking around. Like, really, after that first drive, I'm like, oh, they're fucked. Denver is fucked. Because this offense, which is clicking, is now going to get the ball at the start of the third quarter.
See, what's interesting is that offense didn't have to go very far to score throughout the entire game.
They were consistently getting it, like the 30, the 35.
They were getting pretty good field position, so they were only having to go like 50-yard touchdown drives are still not easy, but they really weren't having to go that far. So
when it was
8-0, you know, Denver had given up 2 field goals. Their defense had played pretty well up until that first interception that Peyton threw. That was a problem when his arm got hit. That became the first touchdown of the game. And then after that, they gave up another touchdown off of another pick play. So this is the problem with the way that they went up 22-0. The offense really hadn't had to drive very far in order to score. So, like, by the start of the second half, you're up 29-0 with the offense for Seattle really not having to put in a lot of work because so much had been done on special teams and defense.
Yeah.
I mean, Russell Wilson was very impressive. Marshawn Lynch was shut down. Denver's defense played pretty well up until the point that they were completely demoralized at the start of the third quarter after that touchdown return. But yeah, like that, I enjoyed watching the second half, if only because like the ability of Seattle to enjoy that second half was just great to me. They just let Denver run out the clock for them the way that offense runs. And every single hit on a Denver receiver in the second half was just another moment to watch that team get demoralized because they couldn't do the things that they did all regular season against the best defense in the NFL. So
yeah, it really did feel lopsided. I guess if I'm saying one thing this episode, though, people went nuts bashing Peyton Manning after the game on Twitter, during the game. So many references to slow white Broncos and OJ jokes.
Oh, yeah.
So many. Come on, people. Come on. Given the circumstances, I don't know what you wanted out of him. That's just how I see it. Like, there was, I believe, his first pick. I think it was like, third down pass. I could be wrong. Cliff Averill up front leaps when he's throwing the pass. I mean, leaps like Jaws coming out of the fucking water.
Right.
And he has to throw it over the dude's hands, which in turn means he overthrows his receiver and he gets picked. It's like, what did you expect to happen with that sort of penetration? He has to suck up pretty much a batted ball, which Christ knows where that goes, or... I don't know, maybe Averill, if it was Averill, grabs it right there. Again, who the fuck knows? He's already putting on, like, athletic specimen of this generation type display. He might have grabbed it and fucking run it in, for all we know. He has to throw it over this dude. Can he then bend the law of physics to get it to drop like a goddamn stone right afterward? Like, no one with Peyton's skill set, this is just a horrible matchup, man. It's like you can have the best rock ever. I guess it's always going to lose to fucking paper, though.
The biggest problem with this game was, I think that in this situation, for a quarterback who is as immobile as Peyton Manning is,
completely immobile,
if they're rushing you as the passer, you got to be able to rely on your screen passes, like your short passing game, to running backs more than receivers. I know they do a lot of those short passes to receivers, but you really want to be able to hit your running back out of the backfield, either like just throwing them short passes or handing the ball off. Well, the problem here was it's a horrible matchup for Denver. You have Knowshon Moreno getting shut down in the run game. I mean, there was no run game in the first half.
So yeah, he was getting like 2 to 3 yards.
It was just horrendous. So the only option they could have had was to throw him short passes, which only works if they're blitzing. And the problem with Seattle is they're only rushing 4 and they're getting to Peyton. So they were really screwed. I'm more critical of Peyton than most people. Like, I feel up to this, but now I feel like I'm on the side having to defend him, which is weird. Because I just felt like, listen, this is not really a good matchup for him after the fact. When I look at the game, it's just like, what was he really going to do against his defense? It really is designed to hurt a quarterback more like him than it would, say, Colin Kaepernick was able to more against his defense.
I was talking to my buddy Brian earlier today. We were texting, and I was like, God help me. You know who would have played better than Peyton in this fucking game? RG3. I mean, yeah, exactly. I'm like, we all know that's
a joke.
You guys
are ridiculous.
No, I mean, dude, I think the Skins are in the toilet forever. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that as like, all the Skins could have done this. Shit, the mobility would have helped somewhat.
I was looking more at the disappointment I had on this postseason that Green Bay didn't have the opportunity to play against Seattle, because I think Aaron Rodgers has the mobility to make that defense think twice about where the quarterback is. It's the Tom Brady's and the Peyton Manning's who really can't handle this type of defense. You go back to that That last Super, like when the Patriots were undefeated heading into the Super Bowl, that front four of the Giants fucked Tom Brady up. That was awesome. I was rooting for the Patriots because I'm a big Randy Moss fan. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, watching that first quarter, watching Tom Brady get fucked up by just front four rushing him for the Giants, it was amazing. I love watching a quarterback get crushed like that. And if you don't have the athletic ability to get out of there and do something, well, guess what? It just reminds the rest of us that you're not like the other pro athletes on the field.
You know, it's not a bad way of looking at it. Just a question, though. Do you think it's completely incumbent on the quarterback to be able to escape? Or is there a bit of, hey, my O-line kind of ate balls this time?
His O-line did eat balls from the moment that the center snapped the ball into the end zone on the first play from scrimmage.
They're big on like, oh, we have a mic in this player's helmet. And I forgot who it was on Seattle. It's like, yeah, you a beast, man. I'm like, what I wanted is the mic in Peyton's helmet when that safety went down. And he's just jogging to the sideline like, you dumb motherfucker. Why aren't you named dumb motherfucker? Because you're a dumb motherfucker, and I don't see it on your jersey. How much lead paint did your mother drink while pregnant with you, dumb motherfucker?
But, I mean, they really could have done a better job preparing that front five for that front four for Seattle. I mean, that is a big problem. They had no answers for the pass rush or the rush defense. There was no way. I mean, they took away every decent option for Peyton Manning in the event that he could actually try to break up the pass rush.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no ability to really throw screens to the running back.
His pocket was consistently getting collapsed in.
Yeah.
You know, he was getting his shit pushed in, to quote Training Day. And he had really, it seemed like, very little in terms of just, I can, all right, as a quick out, throw this for like a 1 yard, I guess, gain, and then the dude gets 5 yards after reception.
I think
the dudes were just getting smushed.
One thing he's not accustomed to, and this is one of the things that I don't think Peyton ever understood that Russell Wilson already does. There's a certain point you got to pull the ball down and move forward and just try to take a sack that's, you know, fewer yards behind the line of scrimmage.
I think he understands that. I think if you're Peyton, you're just like, I'm one hit away from the fucking, you know, a helper monkey.
Yeah, that's true. He's never been great in the pocket, though. He constantly is just trying to fall forward, so he's only losing 7 instead of 8 yards. You know, that's kind of his MO in the pocket.
I will give you that, but Peyton at this point, I understand 100%. You had how many goddamn surgeries to be on that field again?
Yeah, I mean, they're saying that it's not guaranteed he's going to come back next season. It really depends on his health screening next month.
Yeah, so. He said that win or lose.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm not going to criticize him for losing this game. I still think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, but I never thought he was the best quarterback ever. I think you look at what Unitas did all the things people say about...
It's a different game right now.
No, but I'm Unai's created the current position. He pioneered it, but he was also like perhaps the last guy to call plays at the line.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, he was much more successful. Like Peyton, I feel like his play calling was on display last night as still not being as good as defensive coordinators in the NFL. It's just the reason why he only has one ring. Yes, it's pretty impressive he can call his own plays. However, you're going up against defenses that have a proper coach running it.
Yeah, who's in a damn booth.
And so I'd say the top third of NFL defensive coordinators is going to be better at their job than what Peyton's able to do as like a de facto offensive coordinator for most teams.
You mentioning Unitas jogged my memory to Joe Namath.
Oh,
coming out,
gosh.
Coming out like a fucking street pimp. I loved it. Rudy Ray Moore would have seen that jacket and been like, forgive me, that's too much. Deion Sanders would be like, could you just have a purple suit on? How's that? Could be a little more dignified for the situation. Man. God damn, I love that.
But no, I was thinking as we were watching this matchup of the two quarterbacks, you had Peyton Manning, number one overall pick when he came out. Russell Wilson dropped to third. There was so much hype about RG3 as well as Andrew Luck in that draft class. And yet, here you have a second-year player, third-round pick. It reminds me a lot of when Tom Brady was, what, second-year player, fifth-round pick?
Sixth, I thought.
He was a low pick, yeah. Beating. Now, I know Kurt Warner was the same, but he was a defending champion.
You're not going to out-humble beginnings Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner is a fucking bag boy, and he has sex with... You've seen what he has sex with. Compared to what, Bridget Moynihan and Giselle?
And he now has the same Super Bowl record, as you pointed out, as Peyton Manning.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, when I was looking back at the history since Kurt Warner won his Super Bowl, like, how many number one overall picks have won a Super Bowl? It's only really Peyton and his brother Eli. It's really not sensible. I'm getting back on my high horse about, like, never pick quarterbacks number one overall. I just don't believe in it. And I was looking at this, and like, it doesn't even make sense in Eli's case, because technically he was traded.
Yeah,
I mean, he didn't want to play for
the Charger, and then he just cried.
Because it's just like, no, I'm not going to play for the Chargers. It seems horrendous. I'll never win a Super Bowl. Actually, Eli, you did a good job there by demanding a trade. It might have been like through your dad's orchestration, but when you're the number one overall pick as a quarterback, you are pretty much doomed, it seems, never to win a Super Bowl. So to me, it's amazing Peyton even had one with the Colts. Because it just doesn't happen.
I don't even think that was under the 20 mil salary, though, obviously, right? That was like he was 15-ish or some shit. It was before things really spiraled out of control. Because I think a lot of what has jacked up all of the quarterback salaries is the stuff when it stopped, 3 years ago when rookie quarterbacks, like first overall picks, were just getting like 10 a year, 15 a year off the fucking bat.
Yeah, because part of the reason the Colts had to cut Peyton was the contract that Sam Bradford got as number one overall.
Yeah.
But that was the last time a number one overall pick got paid that crazy money.
And what was Bradford per year out of the gate?
It was definitely over 14, I think. Or it might have been closer to 17.
Jesus,
I mean, I can't remember.
Yeah. And so these quarterbacks who had achieved a bunch after 8 years of play are like, fuck this kid.
Yeah.
This cannot happen.
And it's good for the league that there is a rookie wage scale. I think that's actually better.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I wonder if the league will completely readjust itself when the echoes of all the Bradford payday bullshit have died down. Because it wasn't just Bradford. It was also like, what, Matt Ryan and who's the retard in Detroit?
Oh, Stafford.
Matty Ice. Or no, Matty Ice is Matt Ryan. Yeah, Stafford.
Yeah. And then, you look at the guys who've been drafted since then, however, and Russell Wilson's now in the lead, so you still look at these guys who were picked one overall, like Cam Newton, Andrew Luck, RG3 was a number two pick. They're all looking up to Russell Wilson.
Yeah, but as you really hit it on the head, Wilson did fine. He did his part and then some. It was the defense that won this thing. It's just that simple.
They would not have won without Wilson. I do not believe you could just stick in any quarterback to run that middle-of-the-road talent on offense. Because outside of Marshawn Lynch, it's really hard to pinpoint a guy in that offense who blows you out of the water.
Percy Harvin, continue.
How many games did he play this year?
Like, next to none.
So you realize this was his first season with Seattle, and he played three games?
I'm just saying, don't act like they don't have some game changers. They do.
That's... I'm sorry, man. He wasn't a full-time player this year.
It was
great to have
him
in the Super Bowl.
It was a weird thing. Like I said, it was very NBA-esque. It's like Kevin Garnett at 35, who's on the bench like every other fucking night. It's just like, just wait till the postseason. Call me then.
No, man, I'm looking at that offense. And even with Marshawn Lynch, this is one of the reasons I don't think he talked to the media this year. I remember when he was leaving Buffalo, heading to Seattle, and he got the contract that he did. I can't remember what he was getting paid. But
I'm going
to
interrupt you right now. Why? He's fucking young. What, under what circumstances did he leave Buffalo that goddamn early?
Because, like, around the time that he was leaving, he was considered to be one of the most overpaid players in the NFL. I don't even remember what he's getting paid, but I just remember.
But he's 27-ish, right?
He's young, man, yeah.
So he didn't even finish a rookie contract with Buffalo, am I right?
I think he didn't get to finish his contract because of all the chatter that he was overpaid.
What was he, like, pick-wise?
I can't remember now. He definitely was a first-round pick at Cal. Okay. And he was great at Cal. I remember seeing him at Cal being like, whoa, okay, this guy's going to be great. And then anytime I see a guy get picked to Buffalo, I feel bad for him because I'm like, man, I mean, that's a special climate.
It's weird, though, because, all right, and this could all be faulty math, and if it is, fuck you, fast forward. If he's 27 now, he's done at least 3 years with Seattle, right? So you're talking 24-ish. So how many? He had like, what, 2-3 years with Buffalo? That's just...
No, I think he had 4, but he came out early.
Okay.
So let me...
All right, if he got his 4, then I guess that makes sense. His age just kind of doesn't seem to be adding up in my head, though. But
okay, he was born in 1986, so you do the math.
27.
All right. Yeah, so he started age 21 because he came out early and did 3 years in Buffalo. That's okay. Right. He was traded. I forgot about that. He was traded midseason.
Yeah, he wasn't like a free agent.
But he was being considered this overpaid player. And to me, it was really strange to hear that because I'm like, well, it's not his fault he plays in Buffalo.
Yeah.
It's always the way I kind of looked at it. I mean, I understood he probably wasn't worth to them what he was putting out. But the second he went to Seattle, it's just like...
The shitty AFC East teams love feeding the good team. Like, wasn't Welker out of Miami or some shit?
Yeah.
God.
And
they love getting no value out of good players and just giving them away, more or less.
Marshawn Lynch was 12th overall pick by Buffalo his year of the draft.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's just the routine diss that he seemed to get back before he went to Seattle is part of why I think he doesn't care for media, because he really hadn't had a chance to show himself. When you play for a shitty team, you just don't get a chance to really prove yourself if everybody else around you kind of sucks. So this, to me, is kind of validation of the fact that this was a pretty good player, and yet he didn't have much of a game yesterday.
Sorry, I'm just looking at your hair.
I know, it's ridiculous. I took my hat off because it's radio.
You got this one tuft hanging out? You look like Amadeus after he was fucking his woman under the table and Salieri first sees him, and he's like, they're playing my song. And he has to sprint off and like mat down his fucking poof.
I fucking hate you.
Take the hat off. What the fuck? Am I going to suck you off if it looks nice later? Who gives a shit? You're my friend.
I'm distracting you from the topic at hand, which is Marshawn Lynch.
I got a patch of gray like an old dog's muzzle on the front of my head.
And I ain't talking about that. I'm trying to talk about Marshawn Lynch, man. Come on.
Fine. We'll talk Lynch.
But actually, let's move on from Lynch, because all I was saying about Lynch is that he didn't play well. So this really did come down to Russell Wilson taking over quarterback.
No, I think Denver, honestly, their run defense is great. I'll give them that much. I think they did a great job of it. I forgot, who was it for the Patriots that had like an insane game the game before Denver? I forgot who they had running at running back. And then they were like, well, the Patriots abandoned their run after 5 early run plays that Denver just contained. Seattle won't do that. And Seattle didn't abandon the run, but it just never was effective. Like, I don't think credit was given to Denver's run defense, for what it's worth, in
right.
this last couple
and
of games.
But that's where Harvin really came in early in the game. Those 2 first down runs he had were huge, absolutely huge for helping to build that early lead.
Yeah, I'll say that. I just didn't care for it. I didn't like the Super Bowl overall, not just because of the outcome, the way the game was played. If you keep it close and exciting, I don't have much else to add. It was just such a blowout so fucking quickly.
I appreciate a game that can be so one-sided when it's both teams playing up to a high level, but you're just seeing one absolutely dominate, where it just looks like no team could beat him that day. And it was really impressive to see the compliment.
They look 85 Bears-ish.
Yeah. Because those first 2 drives, when they kicked field goals, Russell Wilson obviously had some nerves too, but he made sure that they scored. And he even, on the second field goal attempt, I believe, put a pass into the hands of Kearse that really should have been caught for a touchdown. It doesn't matter now because the game wasn't even close.
No, that was really well defended. I know what you're talking about. The defender had his fucking hand through the guy's arms.
But that was also
able to pull it out.
Great pass, even better defense.
Yeah.
You know? Guy had his hands on it too. So it was
Yeah, and
the
right first field goal, he ran and like almost converted, right? Like he was inches short.
Inches short, yeah. I mean, it's just he was really doing what was needed in the first quarter. And
shitty challenges, by the way. I didn't watch the rest of the game to see if it came back to bite him. It probably didn't because Denver was blown out so quickly. But they had a shitty challenge on like what they thought might have been a lateral, which would have been a fumble.
I like the first challenge. I like Pete Carroll's challenge. John Fox's,
Fox's was very questionable.
I don't think it was terrible, but I probably would have asked somebody upstairs to let me know if I had a chance of winning.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't communicate with him effectively. I honestly think Pete Carroll asked for the wrong review. It seems to me like he challenged whether there was a first down. He probably should have challenged the spot. I don't know if that's something that they can do, but technically I think they could have gotten the spot moved and he wouldn't have necessarily lost his first challenge.
I got you.
So I don't know how that worked, but it didn't matter because
very lawyery
the score
of you.
Was 45-8.
Yeah. I suppose the last thing to really get to before we can call it an episode, Seattle. Where do they go from here? Are they actually going to? Because a lot of people are like, look, they can keep this core intact, and I don't know how against the salary cap they are, but isn't it like Richard Sherman? Who the fuck else that was killer on their defense also has their contract year this year?
I mean, here's the way I look at it. So you're really seeing a franchise that's very much like the Patriots right after they won their first Super Bowl.
Okay.
So you have a young quarterback who's on the cheap for another year, but you do have to come up with a system of replenishing at every other position. And they apparently in Seattle know how to draft people.
They've done insanely well with it so far.
And they're going to continue if they continue to have that commitment to drafting well, to surround Russell Wilson with
the team. I don't know if it's a commitment to drafting well. Everyone wants to fucking draft well.
Well, there's this concern that they'll
do it well.
They just need to avoid what the Ravens did, which is like we signed Flacco at all costs. You know, you really do have to like be disciplined in the way that you approach drafting. Just because you won a Super Bowl with a guy, you can't get sentimental.
But you just said a couple minutes ago, I don't know if anyone but Wilson wins that game for him.
He's owed past due money, so they have to pay him. I'm sorry, they have to give him something. Maybe not $20 million, but at least $14 million when his contract comes up. It's probably going to be closer to $17 million. I would be fine with that, but the reality is that means they're going to lose out on some of these guys on defense, so Russell Wilson needs to get better next year, and they're going to have most of these guys on defense, I imagine, back. They should be able to get other guys to come in. Pete Carroll apparently is the preferred coach for everybody in the NFL, so they are going to be able to get free agents.
He is able to get you undetectable steroids.
Well, he's also able to treat you like a human being, which I think some of the coaches in the league have a problem with.
I'm fine with that aspect of it. I do hate his Zen West Coast fucking Phil Jackson.
I love that shit.
Oh,
man.
I hate it.
Oh man.
Oh, I hate it.
You know, of course. You know, I love that we have the Stoner like Bowl. So
he's probably like popping fucking, you know, mushrooms and doing the mescaline with his team. That's their bonding activity. Acting out the plot of the film Altered States.
Oh, nice. Nice reference.
I remember watching that high when I was
But no, I do think that once they start paying Russell Wilson more, they do have to get more draft savvy with members of the secondary and the like. Because all the guys in the secondary, my understanding, are from like the 2010 draft on. There isn't a guy on this defense that...
No, it's young as shit from what I understand.
There isn't a guy in this defense that Peyton saw on the Seahawks the last time that he played the Seahawks when he was with Indianapolis in 2009.
Yeah.
And so there wasn't a single member of the defense that he'd seen, or the single member of the secondary he'd seen before. Entire secondary had been drafted since 2010. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
You have a bunch of dudes then. Here's the counterpoint to that. You have a bunch of guys, because that, obviously it has its highlights, that defensive squad, but it looks really good head to toe. You have a lot of guys that are going to look for paydays then.
I think you can afford to pay Sherman because...
You have to, because he's become the fucking mascot.
But, I mean, here's the other flip. I think with him... I mean, we talked last week about, like, you were questioning how intelligent he is. I think he is. I think he has the intelligence
to... For a football player, he's smart. I'm just sick of people acting like he's going to goddamn reinvent Wi-Fi or something like that.
Well, I'm curious to see if he's going to be able to be a proficient coach in the NFL one day, because that to me takes quite a bit of intellect if you're going to be successful. But the real thing that I think he could do that very few players have done, Ronnie Lott is the key model. I think when Richard Sherman loses
cut off
a step,
his finger when it need be.
Well, he just needs to switch from cornerback to free safety.
Interesting.
I mean, because like if you're an X's and O guys, because a lot of the cornerbacks in the league, they're really, if you're a shutdown corner, you're not so into X's and O's. You're just into like, I'm better than the guy who plays
across
for me.
Look at me run. Look at me run.
But you can tell Richard Sherman is engaged with the other 10 guys on the field. It's one of the reasons he is the best corner in the league, because I hate the term shutdown corner, because to me, it does seem to get applied to guys who don't necessarily concern themselves with the rest of the field. They're just asking everybody else to play 10 on 10.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think Sherman is more engaged in the full flow of the defense. So if he loses a step and he's no longer the best corner in the league, he's a guy that even if you're like overpaying for him, he could play safety down the road. So I think you got to sign him. For the other guys, I mean, I guess Earl Thomas is getting a lot of hype.
Yeah, he's the other shit. I forgot his name. He's the other cat, I think, who has a contract here.
He's a Texas guy, so I think you got to pay him. That's the way I look at it. Go Longhorns. But anyway,
versus, aren't these low-round picks? I mean, there's a blessing and a curse to these low-round picks panning out so well. And the blessing is, holy shit, look at all this talent we have, and we're barely paying them. And the curse is, we're going to pay him someday.
See, but the genius of Bill Belichick is he was always able to cycle guys in and out and let them sign elsewhere.
Absolutely. If you can keep up your drafting antics, then fuck knows how long this goes on.
But Russell Wilson needs to get better every year in order for that to happen, because he's going to get paid if they're going to keep him. And so they need to get all the more creative in these draft picks for the defensive side of the ball. So
I guess I don't even see the need for him to get that much better. He's obviously serviceable now. And if they keep drafting cheap defensive dudes.
Dude, like, don't disrespect my favorite quarterback now. He's from Virginia. You realize he might be the state freaking governor at a certain point. Like, 20 years from now, he might be governor of Virginia.
Wouldn't shock me. We are a state of dunces.
What are you talking Dude.
I don't know. Any state, I guess, would elect a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
We almost elected Ken Cuccinelli, all right? Do you know how moronic it would have been for him to be the governor? It's bad enough Terry McAuliffe is the idiot governor of Virginia. The fact we had two fucking morons in this last election, I'll take pretty much half the NFL before either of those two assholes. Like, so don't even give me that Russell Wilson would be a bad pick for governor of Virginia.
I don't know what the fuck he'd be. he doesn't have a background in politics. I'll give him that much.
No, but I'm saying, like, I got him at... Because I've been developing my own rating system for quarterbacks.
You have talked about this.
All right. I'll put it this way. I got Russell Wilson at number 11 right now.
All right. He's better.
I mean, Peyton was one. So what's cool about my system...
Fuck your system, son.
He had the greatest season in NFL history. So yeah. I think any system that doesn't put him at number one, there might be something wrong with that. I mean, he had some problems because like a couple of these guys who didn't play all that much were pretty good. Like Foles had a great season. McCown was like number three. But they didn't play 16 games, so I mean, my system, we can talk about that more later down the road, but I'll say this, like, when you look at Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick, and Andrew Luck, I mean, those were four guys who all made the playoffs. They all came in after the reform to the salary cap. I'd say Russell only finished this regular season behind Cam. He was definitely better than Colin and Andrew during the regular season, but I think right now his goal is he wants to be like Drew Brees. Drew Brees, I got ranked number four. Basically, that makes him number two, because when you look at Foles and McCown, they didn't play full seasons anyway. So basically, I think Wilson has a chance to be as good as Drew Brees very soon. And if he's that good, man, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's going to have multiple rings. If he can be just as good as Drew Brees. I know that's difficult for anybody to accomplish, but that's his goal. That's what he set out to be in the NFL. And I don't know, man. By his second year, he's just tied his idol in Super Bowl rings. Let's see if he can put another one out in the next couple of years.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to say this to you. You're right that overpaying for a quarterback early on doesn't seem to have worked. My only counter to that is that you're asking to catch lightning in a bottle as the alternative. You're almost saying you need to get lucky and get that later pick who's on par with these assholes to win. And that's such a crapshoot.
I think here's the reality of what I was looking at. Because, yeah, looking at all the guys who've won Super Bowls since, like, Kurt Warner did his thing.
Name them. Can you name them, and do you have the picks?
I got the list. Okay. So you start with Kurt Warner. He was a free agent. You know, he was bagging groceries.
Yeah.
The rags-to-riches story that all white Americans want to hear about a white person.
Everyone wants to hear that about everyone. Why has that got to be a honky thing?
Oh, wait. Where was all this about Richard Sherman, huh? Come on, man.
I'll dude.
From Compton to Super Bowl champ. Where's that story?
Everywhere. Are you kidding me? I fucking hate Richard Sherman, and I know that story. And that's great for him getting out of the hood and all that
See,
shit.
But where was all the people hating on Kurt Warner? It was like me. Everybody was like, you're such
Kurt Warner never said anything. Like, a lot of people did bash him for all the Jesus crap. They're like, shut the fuck up about it.
Here's why I always bash Kurt Warner. He sucked when Marshall Faulk wasn't on the field. Because you know who the best player on that fucking team was? Marshall Faulk.
I thought you were going to say Kurt Warner. You confused me there.
Fuck Kurt Warner for getting two MVPs to Marshall Faulk's one.
Yeah, but that's
it's
just the
nonsense.
League.
It's nonsense. That's racist. That's racist.
It's positionist. It's not racist. Although I guess if you did have a successful white running back, everyone would shit their pants.
I'm gonna go out there. Like, we'll talk Hall of Fame next week as we transition to the offseason. But I'm telling you, I truly believe that Marshall Faulk's second best running back in NFL history.
Shit. So.
Bam. Anyway,
that's big.
But let's go back to
you just laid it on the table, and I was like, mine's a little pea shy right now.
But all right, so you had the undrafted free agent, went from bagging groceries, playing in Arena League to winning the Super Bowl. Next season, fifth or sixth round pick, got Tom Brady with multiple. Then it's the then you got the Ravens Super Bowl to consider as well. Now, Trent Dilfer, believe it or not, was a sixth pick overall for the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he had a ignominious fall from grace, although he was never good with Tampa. He was basically a draft bust until Baltimore polished him off as a backup, and Tony Banks sucked so bad they put him in there, and he ended up getting cut after that Super Bowl. So, like, he technically is a free agent pickup. Like, you can't call him a first-round pick. He was, for the Baltimore Ravens, a free agent acquisition off, like, the trash heap. So, after that, you got Brad Johnson with Tampa Bay.
Yes. I remember that.
I looked him up before, for a little show prep. I looked up when he was drafted, 9th round.
I forgot it went that deep.
We don't even have a 9th round anymore.
Forgot it used to go that deep.
Yeah. And then
it's like a goddamn baseball draft.
Next guy you got is Big Ben. Big Ben went around 18th.
Okay.
It was like between 11th and 18th. So like when you start getting to the 10th pick, it starts to make sense to draft a quarterback. Not Christian Ponder. I mean, you definitely want to get somebody who's proven themselves to be capable of winning. I think Christian Ponder, his senior year at Florida State, won like 7 games. And he was surrounded by such good players.
Yeah, he's in Florida.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. So, like, Big Ben was pretty damn good at a, like,
Miami
middle of the road.
Miami of Ohio.
Exactly.
Weirdest goddamn school name ever.
I watched that football season for college, and yeah, he was pretty good. I thought that was a solid pick by the Steelers. I wouldn't have projected him to win 2 Super Bowls as quickly as he did, but I thought that was a good pick when they made it.
All right, who else we got? We can bring this one on home soon.
Well, all right, so Peyton, of course, he's the one guy that's one overall for the team that actually drafted him to win a Super Bowl.
Okay.
Then Eli.
I'll count Eli in that. He didn't play before he was acquired.
But he refused to play for the shitty team that drafted
him.
Yeah,
I know.
Smartest movie ever made. Same thing goes for John Elway, because right before Kurt Warner, Elway
won
too.
Yeah, well, no, I thought you're didn't Elway have some sort of draft shenanigans?
Because he knew that he'd never win a fucking Super Bowl with the Colts, so he's like, no, trade me.
Yeah.
I want to go to a team that's not gonna like have me laying on my back my entire rookie year. Eli did the same thing. It's like, why go if you're drafting number one overall? You are not ready for a quarterback. Case in point, last night's game. If you don't have an offensive line that can stop NFL pass rushing, there's no point in drafting a quarterback number one overall. I mean, Luck might have a chance because basically he inherited Peyton's team that had Curtis Painter as the starting quarterback while that guy was injured. That's why he's been able to make the playoffs 2 years in a row. But other than that, I think, like, yeah, since Eli's won, and we talked about Ben, Drew Brees has also won since Kurt Warner won his Super Bowl. Drew Brees was second-round pick. Aaron Rodgers was a low first-round pick. He was, like, very well known for having to sit in the green room till he dropped to 24. And then Joe Flacco was also another, like, mid-first-round pick. So I just don't think it makes sense. If you're that shitty that you're picking in the top three, you are so far from needing a quarterback. I just don't see how it works out for you. You should trade that if the best player is a quarterback, in my opinion. One exception, of course, I feel, is what the Colts had. I mean, with the way the Colts were, they really... They basically had a team that was ready for Peyton Manning. It's just he was injured for a year. It was kind of a freak thing for them to even end up getting a chance to pick Luck. But then your Redskins, I guess, got RG3 number 2.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we could talk about later down the road. We don't have to finish that discussion today. But they did trade up for it. So the team that did have that number two pick did not technically take RG3, but the Redskins were the sixth worst team that year. So,
all right, I guess we can end this one, man. Let's start the music. Howard, thank you for joining me all season.
Yeah, man, I'm excited about next week. Let's talk Hall of Fame. We didn't even talk about the guys who got elected this year. So,
yeah, I suppose a lot of people are wondering, myself included, what exactly we're going to do now that we don't have games to report on.
No, I got plenty of content for us to talk, man.
You hear that, folks? Howard's got it locked down.
Hall of Fame now. We're going to have some draft prep in March. Like, just wait for it, man. We're going to get you some NFL history. Fuck all this bullshit and the other people who talk about football. Just rehashing the same fucking players over and over again. That's what the regular season is for. Let's learn something about football history.
Tony Kornheiser could not have said it better or more profanely. The website's pfpod.com. That's for Papa's Football Podcast. And, of course, In Papa's Basement, the base podcast for all your non-football yapping. Find both of those shows, Papa's Basement and Papa's Football Podcast, on iTunes. And find us on Twitter, at Papa's Basement, for, you guessed it, Papa's Basement, and at Papa Football Pod for Papa's Football Podcast. I guess we're good.
Y'all have a good off season.
Later.